standing. It has certainly been a distinct privilege and honor to be with you in this camp meeting this week and to just worship the Lord. And I appreciate all of the prayers because I feel that somebody has prayed and somebody has petitioned the throne of heaven. And God is looking over us here tonight in this service.
Yes.
There may be somebody here tonight that needs the Holy Ghost in your soul. Amen. I don't know your spiritual condition, but God does. And if you need the Holy Ghost, you're at the right place. You haven't got to wait until revival. You don't have to wait until you get back to your local church. I want you to know that God is here and He's present tonight to fill your soul with His presence and His power. Amen. Turning to the book of Titus in chapter 2. We give honor tonight to Brother Tubbs, of course, and the host pastor here. And I've got something special I'm going to do, but I'm going to wait until I get through preaching, Brother Tubbs. I mentioned Brother Tubbs that I feel led to do, but I'm going to take care of that after a while. One sister was so kind, she went by, and she said, now, it's a little later than it's been, but she said, you just go ahead and take your time. Sounds like somebody wanted to hear some preaching tonight.
Yes, sir. Yes,
praise God. I guess you take an hour and a half. If I take that much, then we'll just have it all balanced out. Praise God. Well, hallelujah. Don't get shocked back there. I'm not going to take an hour and a half. Praise God. They did introduce me one time as God's man of the hour and a half. I forget where it was, but I have been known to get long-winded, and my wife tells me quite often I'm not getting paid for the hour. But I love the Word of God.
Yes.
Amen. It's so good to see Brother and Sister Mims again. And saw him not too long ago there in Mobile. And it's good to see folks from Fairhope and just wherever you're from. Isn't it the great God we serve?
Yes, amen.
And this is Friday night and last night of camp meeting, so let's not get into a great big rush. I was honored several years ago to fly out of Pontiac, Michigan to participate in burying one of the dearest friends of the gospel ever had, Bishop L.A. Parent. And I never will forget in that large auditorium, that church, and the people of God streamed in there from no telling how many states. And I stood back there with Brother William, and the funeral director said, William, of course, up north, they're very businesslike. They just say what they're going to say, you know, very abrupt. He said, I want to tell you, this funeral is taking longer, going to take longer, so that I can see all these hundreds of people here. It's about, I guess, 1,500 people there. And he said, I want to tell you now, I want a good understanding, business is business, that we're going to have to charge you extra, your family extra for all this time. Because up there, they just allot so much time, they go on to the next one, you know. It's not like the South that we're in down here. But anyway, I never will forget, Brother William Parent looked at him and very kind and very sweet said, sir, he said, that'll be all right. He said, you just bill us for whatever. But he said, I want to tell you, it takes time to bury a king. And I thought, you know, for a son to feel that way about his dad. Praise God. We had 8 or 10 of us that spoke at the service. Bishop Bonner out of New York and Brother Bill Starr, the superintendent of Michigan District United Pentecostal Church. And Brother Bill McCool had come out of that church. And Brother Lester Magruder. And I don't know who all. They had so many. And I thought, a great man of God, a great church that had done so much. And so many men of God, pastors, evangelists, and missionaries come out of that place. So tonight, let me tell you, it takes a while to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Praise God. We can get in a hurry and run off and leave Him, but I want to be still and know that He is God. He said, wait on the Lord, you can renew your strength. And we've had a lot of great singing here tonight, and we've kind of sit and just enjoyed it. But let me tell you, I want you to be touched, especially tonight, by the Word of the Lord. Because without this Word of God, we wouldn't know any gospel to sing. We wouldn't have any truth to sing about. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Praise the Lord. Titus 2, he said in verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Amen. I don't want to get too loud. The singing was a little bit loud. Is it too loud out there? Now I'm going to get cranked up in a few minutes and preach. So if I get loud, you just let this man know over here he's got the controls. Amen. Notice, he said, we're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And all the church said, amen.
Amen.
Let us pray together, Father. Once again, we come to the throne of grace tonight to ask God for your direction. I realize, Lord, that I'm only clay tonight, God. I know, Lord, that I'm just an instrument, a vessel. And I know, God, tonight, my limitations, O Lord, and my imperfections. I am well aware, O God, tonight, that I need the anointing of the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. And I pray, God, that somehow, Lord, the unction of the Holy Ghost, Lord, that the spoken word might reach out into every heart in this room tonight, God. Oh, hallelujah. That somebody may lay hold on eternal life. Encourage our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. And all the church said amen.
Amen.
Praise God. God bless you. You may be seated. My message tonight is simply that blessed hope. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that you're not out there in a world that's filled with hopelessness tonight and despair? Amen. The reason that millions are perishing and that there are many out there tonight that are drowning themselves in those things that has been testified about tonight, suicides everywhere, is because men are living without any hope. Praise God. But I'm so thankful tonight that He said the grace of God hath appeared to all men. That doesn't mean that all men are going to be saved. I don't believe the doctrine of the universalist that everybody's going to be saved. I believe somebody's going to hell. I believe that wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat, because it's what Jesus said. Praise God, but somebody's going to heaven. So if the grace of God is all that was involved in your salvation, then everybody would be saved because the grace of God's appeared to all men. Can you say amen? But that grace of God only gave you the opportunity to do something about the message that God has proclaimed in His Word. See, grace is the unmerited favor of God. And God did you and I a favor to even let us hear the preached Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Hallelujah. And so when God is good enough to allow grace to go out all over the earth, then it's up to you as an individual to respond to the Word of our God. Amen. When that Word is preached, then faith comes by hearing. And, of course, hearing is the instrument, amen, whereby that God communicates His Word and His message unto us. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And I'm thankful to God tonight, amen, that in that moment of faith that is conceived in our hearts, that God's Word, we're begotten by the Word of truth. Hallelujah. And that you have an opportunity to receive or reject. Jesus said, "Whosoever will, let him come." Aren't you glad that God somehow touched your heart with conviction one day that you said, "Yes, Lord." Praise God. And now that you've come to know Him, you become a child of God through a process called the new birth. And that you're in the family of God. I thought about the brother's testimony that he drifted away from the Lord. I told the church at home, I guess a year ago, I was preaching and studying ahead of time, preparing and praying. And I somehow, the Lord just kind of led me. And there's a lot of insecurity in the world right now. In the secular world, in the jobs, there's factories are being bought out and there are takeovers and bankruptcies, and a lot of uncertainty. People never know from one day to the next, really, whether they're going to be working at that plant next week or not. And as one fellow said, the only thing between you and the poorhouse is you're fired. Praise God. There's not a lot of security. And some of the biggest corporations in America have filed bankruptcy in the last year or two. And God gave me a message on the security of the believer. And I'm not talking about an unconditional eternal security that you can do anything you want to. But I'm glad that God's people are secure, amen, in the family of God. Amen. That we operate under the head of the church, the Savior of the body. And that all life is in Him and all authority is in Him. And it flows from the head down to every member. Praise God. And He's put all powers under His feet. So if you're just a little toe, you got all the devil and his works is underneath you. Because God put all this under His feet. Hallelujah. Glory. Wherever God put you in the body, you're above everything else. But I told the church, I said, it's strange how that we can preach to sinners, low down, filthy like we were, and we come to God and give a testimony, and everybody shouts, glory, hallelujah. And sometimes we forget that God forgives His own children. It's amazing how God can save a sinner and forgive sinners, but sometimes we don't think that God can forgive His family members. But I'm here to tell you that God is a God of mercy. And John said, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah! Praise God. I'm telling you, amen, God's grace is wonderful tonight. But we are operating, and there's something inside of us called hope. And Paul said it's a blessed hope. Hallelujah. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:51, behold, I show you a mystery. I like mysteries. When I was growing up, I used to spend a lot of time in the library at school. I'd get everything caught up. And I loved to read. I had an appetite for knowledge and information. And I'd go to the library. And I remember 6th, 7th, 8th grade along in there. Before I got up older and got my attention diverted in other directions. You know how you do. You get into sports and girls and, you know, those things, those minor things in life that get you sidetracked. But there was a time when, man, I just read. As I tell them, I used to be a bookworm, and then tapes came along, and now we got tapeworms. But you read, you know, and these mysteries always intrigued me. Praise God. And, man, I just want to find me a good mystery. I'd go to the mystery section every time. And I like mysteries. And God has mentioned in His Word some mysteries. Amen. That's just a previously hidden truth that's divinely revealed. And Jesus talked about it in the parables. He talked about all the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But I'm glad that we're no longer in the dark, that Jesus Christ put us in the light. And He has revealed His truth unto us. Amen. There was the mystery of Israel's blindness in Romans chapter 11. And how that God is going to deal with him as a nation. And the church being the bride of Christ. Paul said a husband and wife relationship in the church is to demonstrate the relationship of Jesus to His church. And so every family in the local church has to show the sinning world, amen, what God and His church really mean by the relationship of the husband to the wife. And he said, this is a great mystery, but I'm speaking about Christ and His church. This is why that we need sanctified husbands and wives to demonstrate to sinners what the church is all about. Amen. We can't talk about God loving His church unless we have some men loving their wives like Christ loved the church. Praise God. Then they can understand that. They can relate to that. So he said, this is a mystery, but I'm talking about my Jesus and His church. Hallelujah. Praise God. Boy, I'm glad that God loves His church more than some men I've met love their wives. Well, I'm a metal little, I guess. Hallelujah. And then there was a mystery of God in Christ. And then the mystery of, in 1 Timothy 3:16, great is the mystery of godliness. Hallelujah. How that God can take a filthy sinner, wash him up, amen, and transfer His holiness into that sinner, amen, and make him godly. That's the mystery. How that God can just take somebody that's lived in sin all their life, and all of a sudden they get a transformation in their life, and old things pass away, and all things become new. He said, great is the mystery of godliness. How can a sinner be godly? Because God takes our sins and gives us His holiness and His righteousness. Hallelujah. Praise God. But then he said there's also the mystery of iniquity. We talked about that the other night. But I think the one that really sets me on fire and thrills me more than anything else is when Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. Hallelujah to God. And he said, we shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. I'm talking about that blessed hope. Hallelujah. He said, the appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. He disappeared from view over 1900 years ago. But Paul said he's going to appear again. Amen? Hallelujah. He's going to appear the second time without sin unto salvation. The modernists don't believe it. The infidels won't buy it. They won't accept it. But Paul said, nevertheless, amen. If so, anyhow, the foundation of God is standing sure. Some are saying the resurrection's passed already. But that doesn't shake me tonight, friend. God's foundation and God's Word is as sure as it's ever been. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. I believe there's a blessed state of the dead and there's a blessed hope for the living. Hallelujah. I believe that God's got this thing in the hollow of His hand tonight and that God is still on the throne. Amen. He's still God. And tomorrow He's going to be God. Hallelujah. You reach back in time and those kings of ancient empires, they shook their fists in the face of God and said, "Who is this God?" They said, "Moses, who is this God you're talking about?" Praise God. They said the same thing to the other prophets. "Who is your God?" But I'm glad that I know Him tonight. Amen. And those ancient kings, amen, they've got some of them over here mummified in the British Museum. Amen. That's where they are. The ones that said, "Who is your God?" But I can say tonight where my God is. He is still on the throne. Those men have died and gone and forgotten about. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But listen to me tonight. He said, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, oh, hallelujah, at the last trump, or the last trumpet. And if I had time tonight, I'd like to get over in Revelation on the trumpets. But he said, here's the last one of all the ones that John described. Amen. And a lot of things that's going to happen. But the one that I'm interested in is the final one. Hallelujah to God. Amen. If somebody said here one night, I took a look in the back of the book, and we win. Some people said, "I can't understand Revelation." I can. Honey, all you got to know about Revelation is that the devil's going to the lake of fire along with the beast and the false prophet. And the only other thing you need to know is that we're going to win. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, that one that John saw in the first chapter walking in the midst of the golden candlestick, his name is Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. And then he describes all the warfare on this earth. But in the final chapters, he said, "I saw a throne, and one was sitting on the throne." Oh, hallelujah to God. And then he described the city, and he said, "If your name is written in the book of life," amen to God, he said, "I'm talking about a hope. I'm talking about a future. You're on the winning side tonight." Hallelujah. And that's the real message of Revelation, is that Jesus Christ stepped out and said, "I'm walking in the midst of the church." And He has not. Friend, let me tell you, God has not forgotten us. He said, "I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you." Somebody said, "Where are the miracles and where is the power?" It's in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation unto everyone that believeth." Amen. If you want power in the church, you get some gospel preached in there and somebody to believe it, and you'll have the power and the glory of God being demonstrated all over the land. Hallelujah. Praise God. Notice he said the last trumpet's going to sound. "For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Hallelujah. "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." Let's notice, he said in the final analysis, "When this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting?" Hallelujah to God. See, one of these days, those that we've planted, when they come out of their brother tubs, they're going to look back and they're going to be able to sing this refrain, "Death, where is your sting?" Hallelujah. "Grave, where is your victory?" Oh, yes. Hallelujah to God. As sure as Jesus Christ got out of the grave, amen, on the third day and rose and revealed Himself, just as sure as there's a resurrection, a bodily resurrection of Jesus, there's going to be a bodily resurrection of the saints of the Most High God. The grave cannot hold them when the last trumpet sounds. Hallelujah to God. Amen. I know Satan, it seems like, looks like to some people that he's pretty much in control. But he's really not. Amen. I said he's really not. He said, thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus came out of that grave, he appeared in the garden. Now some folks are kind of mystified about, you know, it seems like it's too far out. Some of these people that can't live by faith. And if you live for God, you got to live by faith. Because God said the just shall live by faith. Now, I've never had a glorified body, but I'm going to get one. I know that I am because God said that I was. Hallelujah. But I want you to understand one thing. When Jesus got out of that tomb, amen, one morning about daylight, he appeared. And the woman that was weeping about his death thought he was the gardener, but he spoke her name. Praise God. And she understood clearly then who was talking to her. For 40 days he appeared in a glorified body. And without question, friend, he left a testimony in this earth before eyewitnesses. Praise God, that there is life after death. Amen. And Paul said, Titus, I want you to understand that this grace of God has appeared to all men, teaching us denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we, the church, are going to live soberly and righteously and godly right here in this present world. Why? Because we're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. Hallelujah. John said, it hath not yet appeared what we shall be. But when he appears, we're going to be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope purifies himself even as he is pure. Hallelujah. We're going to continually grow in the likeness of the one that we're looking for. Hallelujah. Praise God. Jesus came out of that tomb. He appeared to those disciples. And the Word of God said they were fearful. And they said it must be a spirit. But for the Lord to confirm His presence and the reality of the resurrection, He said, fear not. A spirit doesn't have flesh and bone as you see me have. Thomas was not with Him one Sunday evening when Jesus stood. They had the door shut. The Bible said, for fear of the Jews. They continued to meet and to find out what they were going to do. Their master was gone. Amen. And all of a sudden, he stands in their midst. Praise God. I think it's time the church got out from behind the closed doors. Amen. And not worry about the Jews. And not worry about anybody else. Praise God. We got a message to tell this world. We got a hope inside of us. Amen. Every dope addict, every alcoholic, every hopeless soul tonight in this world needs to understand what's making us tick, while we can smile and rejoice and while we can get along. Praise God. We don't have to have the material things of this world to make us happy, that our joy originated in heaven out of the bosom, amen, of a lowly Nazarene. He never was rich in this world. He didn't have any lot of worldly possessions to make him go. I'm telling you right now, this world, amen, they set their affection on things on this earth rather than on the things that are above. Do you know what they consider success? Is that you get a good education, get you a good income, send your children to the right schools and the right universities, know the right social circle. Amen. Praise God that you get in the right country club and all that business. Then they think you are a success. You got to live in the right neighborhood, drive the right kind of car, and wear the right kind of clothes. But I got news for this world. Amen. There's some people on this planet that's got something hid down inside of them tonight. And it's called a hope. And we cannot compete. We can't compete in our apparel. We can't compete in our CDs. And we can't compete in our neighborhood. And we can't compete in the size houses. And none of that's business. And we may not compete intellectually. We may not go to Harvard and amen. In any other words, I'm telling you right now, we got a hope inside of us tonight. Amen. And that's why we're not alcoholics. And that's why we're not dope addicts. And that's why we're not shooting our brains out. Because God said, every man hath his hope. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said it's a blessed hope. Jesus said, handle me. Because a spirit doesn't have flesh and bone as you see me have. Hallelujah. You know, there's a wonderful thing. John said when he appears, we're going to be like him. We're going to see him as he is. Stay with me tonight. Hallelujah. See, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Can you say amen? Jesus didn't say amen that I'm flesh and blood, because he didn't have any blood. The blood flowed down freely on Golgotha's hill. Now you see, in your mortal body tonight, you're living and you're breathing, and the life of your flesh is in your blood. You can have a perfect brain, a perfect heart, but when they drain all the blood out of you, you are dead. Hallelujah. And so God Almighty declared in His Word that your life tonight, your blood to keep you physically alive, came from your Father. Are you with me? Praise God. And it's a very precious commodity. And without it, they know. This is why they continually, the Red Cross and all the other agencies continually plead for people to donate their blood to help somebody live. And I'm saying to you tonight that this lowly Nazarene, this man called Jesus, hallelujah to God, that was God's blood flowing in his veins. Amen. He had no earthly father, and so there was no earthly blood. That blood was never contaminated. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ never had one childhood disease. He never had any blood disease. He never had anything. He grew up, amen, God manifest in the flesh. He was in a flesh and blood body. But the Bible said, Paul said to the elders, feed the church of God that he purchased with his own blood. Hallelujah! His physical body came from Mary, but the blood inside of him was God's blood. Hallelujah! Pure and undefiled. And he hung on a cross, and he shed it for you and I. Are you hearing me tonight? Praise God! And they laid his body in that tomb. Not one ounce of blood was in him. And the Bible said they put him to death in the flesh. Amen! But he was quickened and made alive by the Spirit. You know what brought him out of the grave? It was the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory to God. And when he got out of that grave, amen, he laid aside his humanity and he put on a glorified body. Amen. He appeared to his disciples and he said, I'm not a spirit. Amen. A spirit doesn't have what I've got here. I'm talking about a blessed hope tonight. I'm talking about a body that you're going to have one just like his. Glory! Oh, hallelujah to God. Now, there's some beautiful things about that glorified body. When Jesus came out of there, he was able to talk. Now, I know a lot of folks got a lot of questions about heaven. And I don't profess to know very much about any of it, but a few things that God has shown me. And I just know that heaven's going to be all right. And I know if you couldn't talk, Brother Tubbs and Sister Huggins probably wouldn't want to go, because they like to talk. Hallelujah. So when Jesus got out of that grave, he started talking. Isn't that wonderful? We're going to have a body like the Lord and be able to communicate and just sit down and talk it all over. Hallelujah. And then the disciples got discouraged and went off fishing. And all of a sudden, here's a man standing on the seashore and said, come over here and dine. And they looked and there were some fish on coals of fire. Hallelujah. Praise God, had a meal waiting on them. Woo, hallelujah. And Jesus said, come and dine. Hallelujah. And he broke bread with them. Praise God. So another great thing is, even you'll be able to eat in a glorified body. Now, isn't that good news? Woo, hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. In fact, I'm going to tell you, when they spread the marriage supper of the Lamb, I'm going to tell you right now, if I get there before Sister Huggins and there is any voting going on about who's going to help fix it, I'm going to nominate her for one of them. Hallelujah. Will that be all right, Brother Huggins? Be all right with you? Hallelujah. But I don't know all about, you know, that marriage supper. I got my own ideas, and they're not even worth any more than yours are. But let me tell you something. Amen. I'm talking about something that's precious. I'm talking about eternal life. I'm talking about your five senses that'll be a whole lot more keen and perceptive than they ever were in this physical body down here. Paul said, now we see through a glass darkly. Amen. A man that had an abundance of revelation. But he said, even though beyond all that, I'm only seeing through a glass darkly. I don't understand very much about it myself. Hallelujah. But he said, then we're gonna know him as we are known. We're going to see him face to face. Amen. Why? Because there abides faith, hope, and charity. Hallelujah to God. Paul said, I know I'm going to lay aside my tabernacle. He said, Timothy, son, I am now ready to be offered. Amen. I'm not afraid of where I'm going. You don't worry about me, son. Hallelujah to God. I have fought a good fight, and I've kept the faith. Hallelujah. I have finished my course. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. And he said, I know there's laid up for me. He's sitting in that prison cell over in Rome. And he's trying to encourage some folks. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Nobody there with him but Luke. Everybody else is gone. Demas, he backslid and went off somewhere. Praise God. But old Luke, that beloved physician, was still right there with him. But he said, I'm not afraid of the executioner. Historians tell us that shortly after he penned those words, they took him out of that prison cell, down in that old deep hole, and led him out in public view. And they rolled a head from his shoulders. Amen. But he wasn't worried one bit, because he had a revelation. He had a blessed hope living inside his bosom. Amen. And the Roman Empire couldn't daunt it. Amen. I'm telling you that Caesar couldn't stop him. Amen to God. I want you to understand tonight, it matters not the external forces, the opposition, persecution, or whatever. When you got it down on the inside, there's not a demon in hell or out of hell that'll take away your hope tonight. Amen. Because God has sealed it. Hallelujah. And he said, it's a blessed hope. Hallelujah to God. Listen to me. One of these days when you put on... Let me go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I can't preach all night, but I'm feeling good up here. I hope... Are you feeling good out there? Yes. Praise God. Don't y'all get through before I do, all right? Let's all get through together. Hallelujah. Praise God. Brother Ray, if it gets kind of dry back that way, just kind of wave your handkerchief or do something back there. I might jump over this thing, run back that way, and preach a while back at the back door. Praise God. But listen to me. You see, I said something to our church not long ago. I enjoy living for God and have for a long, long time. But I like to go to the house of God and worship. And I guess I'm an optimist by nature. I just kind of try to look on the bright side of everything and see God and everything. But I made this statement, and I really believe it. When you look back over your shoulder, look down the path of life, and all the good things that God has bestowed upon you. But in your earthly journey, if you'll be honest, there's been more pain than there's been pleasure. There's been the high moments. There's been those times you get together and we laugh and rejoice. But camp meeting's going to be over in a little while, and everybody's going to be scattered. And you're going to be in that kitchen there, you lady folks. Some of you are going to go to those jobs, those factories and offices, wherever you happen to go. You men of God, you're going to pick up your burden tomorrow, Sunday, next week. And you're going to think about there's somebody next to you in your family that's lost without God. There's somebody near and dear to you that's not living for Jesus tonight. There's a lot of pain we carry day by day. Do you hear what I'm telling you tonight? Hallelujah. Men of God look out across their congregation and they start the worship and they look around and a certain family's not there. Sunday night comes and they're not there. Wednesday night comes, amen, and they're not there, Brother Wiley. And something inside says there's a problem. You go knock on a door and they give you some kind of excuse that you know that won't please God. They'll never justify them in eternity. But you see, you carry a pain. You carry a burden. Amen. Many of you have planted loved ones in the ground, and you'll never live long enough that you'll ever get over the pain and the hurt. I'm saying to you tonight that life amen, with all the good things of God, but there's more pain than there is pleasure. And this is why that what I'm preaching to you tonight, that I feel led of God to share with you, this is what makes the hope of tomorrow, amen, all the more important to you. Because when the sun has set on this life and the new day dawns on the other side, and you step across the great divide and you face God and you meet your record, amen, I want you to understand tonight what this hope that God put inside of you really means. Because there's going to be some tears. As long as you're in this tabernacle, you're going to shed some tears. There's going to be a lot of things, amen, that's not going to work out like you planned it. Are you hearing me now? Amen. When you're young in your teens or 20s and you dream of success and you dream, amen, that there'll be a day where you can sit back and you won't have to sweat it and worry about this and fret about that, and you'll get all these things behind you financially, and everything is going to fall in place, and you're going to marry the perfect man or lady, amen, and you're going to have perfect children, and you're not going to make the mistake that this one made and that one made. And I'm not going to do it like mom and dad. Let me tell you, you know why you don't have perfect moms and dads? Because we don't have any perfect people. Praise God. And when you get to be mom and dad, you won't be perfect either. Hallelujah. Praise God. But I'm saying to you that it'll never all work out like you dreamed. Hallelujah. But I want you to understand tonight, on the authority of God's Word, there's going to be a day, amen, that this blessed hope is going to transport you from here to a land. There won't be any tears. I've watched friends of mine that never dreamed that their health would be gone by the time they're 30 years old. I buried some precious saints of God out of our church when they were very young. Just a I guess 4 years ago, last month before, I buried a 14-year-old young man in our church, in our school, that was accidentally killed. They were hanging a gun up in a gun rack and it discharged. And the load hit him right here in the chest. His cousin was, they were putting up a new gun rack in the bedroom. One of the hardest things ever did, because that family was so close to us. And my little granddaughter, we buried her on a Tuesday and buried this young man the following Sunday. And it was probably the heaviest week that I ever spent in my life. And we gathered in that auditorium that Sunday afternoon. Here's a young man that excelled. He excelled in track, and he'd won all kind of medals in competition, in Christian competition in the school. Liked about 2 medals from being an Eagle Scout. And baptized, full of the Holy Ghost, living for God, and had everything. I mean, he could handle a basketball on the court, left handed like you never saw for a 14-year-old. And his dad was so proud of little JJ. Amen. And Brother Huggins, when the time came for us to start that service that Sunday afternoon, I never will forget. My brother-in-law, Brother Steve Wilson, was sitting on about the second pew, and we walked down there. The young minister in my church, Brother Irvin, and I walked down that aisle. Amen. And we walked to that casket, and I had to reach in there and get that flag. Amen. And get those medals and get his Bible that he brought to the house of God back and forth. Amen. And I turned around and laid it in the lap of that dad. And there was a hush that came over that congregation. And grown men began to reach and get their handkerchiefs and wipe those tears. Because that's all daddy had to take home. Amen. Was a flag. Amen. Some Boy Scout medals. Amen. Some medals he had won on the track and a few other places. And the Word of God that belonged to that young 14-year-old. I'm talking about real life. I'm talking about, friend, the things that makes you bleed. That makes you cry. That makes the tears run down your face. I'm talking about a pain that won't go away tomorrow. I'm talking about a pain, amen, that bare aspirin can't handle. Praise God. I'm talking about a lot in this present world that you better understand one thing, honey. It's never going to be paradise down here. It's never going to be heaven on earth. Amen. Your hope and your reward is on the other side. And don't ever lose sight. Don't ever lose hope of what God has planted inside of you. Oh, hallelujah to God. Brother Steve Wilson told me after that service, he said, my God, he said, I couldn't hardly sit there. He said, when I saw that daddy and that mother sitting side by side on that front pew and everything that they had in this world was here just sitting on his lap to take back to his house. And we planted that young boy in God's good earth. But I want you to understand one thing tonight. There's going to be a resurrection. I said there's going to be a resurrection. Just as sure as Jesus came out of that grave, there's going to be a resurrection. Praise God. I believe I'm going to see my granddaughter. I believe I'm going to see the saints of God that have touched my life. Amen, Brother Elmer. I believe that I'm going to see your dad one day when that trumpet sounds that old Paul wrote about. Praise God. You say, how do you know? Friend, the only thing I can tell you is that I'm living by faith in the promise of God's Word. If this Bible don't mean anything, none of us got any hope anyhow. Amen. If Jesus didn't get out of the grave, we don't have any hope anyhow. And we're all going to perish. But I really believe He got out of there on the third morning. Amen to God. On the third day, I believe He came like the Bible said. I believe He's alive forevermore. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm talking about a land where there won't be any cancers. We had a young lady in our church. I guess she was 31 or 2. Left 3 children behind, contracted cancer. In a matter of a few months, it just sapped her life. Sang, had one of the most beautiful voices of anybody ever sang in our church. We've been blessed with a lot of good talent. She sang solo in the choir. Amen, Sister Connie Smithy. She could get up there and she could bless you. They didn't have a lot of money or anything like that. She was just common like the rest of us. But when she walked up that anointed of God of the Holy Ghost, I've seen conviction fall. I've seen the Spirit of God fall through her singing. I've seen folks raise their hand in the congregation and receive the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues on the pew before I ever had a chance to preach. She had a ministry in singing. Amen. But that cancer got a hold of her. Brother Huggins, she realized one day she wasn't going to make it. Praise God. But she had enough faith. She had her faith in the right place. She knew where to look in the time of the storm. Hallelujah. You know what's drowning people out here tonight? They don't know where to look. That's the beautiful thing about what I'm preaching is that when you have your direction, when you have your head on right and your faith is in God, I'm telling you, storms are going to come to sinners and storms are going to come to saints. But if you know where to look in the time of the storm, amen, that one that said, peace, be still. Hallelujah. And even when the storm is raging, amen to God, aren't you glad that the voice of your God can speak to your heart? And still say, peace, be still. Woo, hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. That's not just history. Amen. That Jesus Christ is real. And He's your God tonight. Amen. He didn't just say peace to the wind. He meant for you to understand that He'll say peace to you when your storm comes by. Hallelujah. A lot of suffering. It's not uncommon when you want to go in these hospitals. I've got a precious young man that I baptized several years ago. He received the Holy Ghost in our church. Married a young lady down at Potts Camp. Hit a bridge abutment 2 weeks ago. This morning about 3 o'clock. While we were in national competition over at Knoxville. He hasn't gained consciousness yet. And I've gone in and visited with his wife. And she sits there. She refuses to leave. In that intensive care waiting room. 14 days a night she's been there. And she's hoping against hope. And the sad thing is that Bob used to serve God, but he's been out of church 4 or 5 years. And I walked in to pray for Bob the other day, and he had all the machines on him. And the doctor stood there and told his wife and Sister Bishop and I, he said, Pam, I want you to understand it's critical. And I want you to understand there is, as far as we're concerned, there's really not any hope. But he said, I want you to know that we're going to do everything in our power for Bob. And Pam said, doctor said, can Brother Bishop go in and pray? And he said, of course. Sister Bishop and I walked in with all the apparatus that they had strapped to him, keeping him alive. And Brother Tubbs, I felt such a burden in my soul. A young man that I went put down in water in Jesus' name. God brought him out of drugs and out of sin. Terrible life. Filled him with the Holy Ghost. But he got wrong things in his eyes. But I laid hands on him in Jesus' name. I didn't scream. I didn't jump up and down. There was people all around in that ward. And the nurse's station was there. And they were monitoring everything about him. And I just simply, Brother Huggins, just laid hands on his forehead. And I asked God, I said, God, I know You're the giver of life. And God, You're the only one can help my friend right now. And I'm asking You, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, to allow Your healing virtue to touch this man and give him an opportunity, God, to repent. That's all I asked for. I didn't ask for 50 years. I said, God, I want him to gain his senses and his consciousness and his perception enough that I can feel like that he's had an opportunity to make things right with God before he leaves this world. And all of a sudden, his eyes, he hadn't even opened his eyes since that wreck. His eyes came open, and he looked like he was trying to raise himself off that bed. And that nurse left that station, came in there, even while I was praying, and asked my wife, said, What did he do? And she said, well, he opened his eyes. And my wife said, he looked like he was trying to say something. And that nurse just stood there like she was petrified. Amen. I don't know what God's going to do for him. I have no idea, but I know one thing. Amen. I'm here to tell you tonight that the power of the resurrection of Almighty God lives inside of you this night. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And listen to me. Paul said, we know that our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. See, it's such a glorious thing to have a hope. When it looks like that there is no hope. Abraham, God promised him a son. And he was 90 years old. No, he's 99. And that's just past. You know, that's just too late in life to think about a family. But God's word was given to Abraham. Let me tell you, one man can make a difference. God spoke to Abraham, and he was a citizen of the Chaldeans, and that was a pagan country. But somehow or another, he had faith in God. And God spoke to him and said, get out of here and go. Gave him a promise. Hallelujah to God. Praise God. And in fact, when he was 75, God gave him the promise. 99, God spoke to him again. And when he was 100 years old, that boy was born. Because God kept his word. Hallelujah. And then, about 28 years later, God talked to Abraham and said, I want you to take your son, your only son Isaac, and go to the land that I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you a mountain. I want you to offer him for a burnt offering. Abraham still had his hope. Hallelujah to God. He knew that the God that could help him to father a son when he was 99 years old. He said, I'm ready to go, God. He got his servants together next morning. Amen. They fixed up those horses. Amen. The mules or whatever they had. Praise God. Got everything together. I don't know what he told Sarah. You know how wives are. They're shit bound to worry. He probably said, well, I'm just going up the mountains to pray. I don't know really what he said. I doubt very seriously that Abraham told Sarah the whole story. That I'm going up and kill our son. Because you know how women are. Don't get too quiet on me now. But I'm going to tell you, this old patriarch had it in there. You see, what God thought enough of him, he mentioned his name 302 times in the Bible. So one man can make a difference. Hallelujah. And when he went to that hillside, he said to his servants, he said, you stay here. And he said, I and the lad, we're going up yonder and we're going to return. Hallelujah. That's hope. I'm talking about hope tonight. Amen. He had his knife. He had his wood. He had everything laid up there. And Abraham or Isaac was laid on that altar. Amen to God. That he said, son, God is going to provide. He believed that. He believed that if he would be obedient to God and go to the point of slaying his only son, that God was going to raise him up because God was not going to fail him now. Praise God, that if the God that gave him that promise, amen, that what God promised, he was able to perform. And he said, you boys stay here, and I and this lad, we're going to come back. We're going to come off this mountainside. I don't know how God's going to do it, but I really don't care how he does it. I just know he's going to do it. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Let me tell you, the same God that gave you the Holy Ghost, if God can redeem your soul and purify your spirit, I want you to understand that God is able to give you a new body. Amen. Hallelujah. And the Bible said, If your earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, the house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. He used this word tabernacle. That's where we get our word tent. And you know what a tent looks like, especially with a little wear and a little exposure to the elements. It gets pretty ragged looking. That's exactly what Paul is describing here, is your earthly house. Your old earthly body that we live in is like a tent that one day they're going to fold it up and lay it aside, because it's going to serve its purpose. It came from dust, and to dust it's going to return. Hallelujah. God met Israel in a tent, but there came a day when a man had it in his heart. He said, I'm going to build God something more permanent. Hallelujah. And he thought that he was going to build God a building, and Solomon erected a temple. Amen, because David had put it in his heart. And he said, just as your earthly house is a tent, he said, you've got a house, a building of God, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Woo! Hallelujah! Your glorified body that God's going to give you is going to supersede the body you got now, as much as a beautiful marble structure will supersede a ragged, worn-out tent that somebody discarded along the way. Amen, friend. No wonder he said, hadn't yet appeared what we shall be. You cannot imagine. No wonder Paul said, I'm only seeing through a glass darkly. You cannot imagine. Amen, the senses. Amen, to God and everything that's going to be about that glorified body. But I want you to know it's a house. Amen, it's something permanent. It's a house, a building of God, not made by hands, and it's eternal in the heavens. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Glory. Never ache, never pain, never sorrow. And he said, notice, when Jesus gave his infallible proof of a glorified body, he said, I am not a spirit. I want you to understand that I've got a body. He said, handle me. Hallelujah to God. And I'm here to say to you tonight, amen, that God's Word said that He has given us, in verse 5, I got to hurry because of time, He that wrought us for the self same thing is God, who hath also given us the earnest of the Spirit. Glory. Now what does it mean that God gave us the earnest of the Spirit? You know where we get our term in a business transaction, earnest money? That means a down payment. Right. You pay a certain portion in good faith. Right. Right. Out of earnest heart that you're going to make the final transaction. Praise God. And what God did, you see, God could not give you the full payment in this earthly house. Praise God. Stay with me for just a few minutes. Because we are earthly creatures. And Adam sold us out. And God's only way of redeeming us was to come down here Himself and meet the enemy of death and destroy him and get up on the other side and said, behold, I am alive forevermore. And then for God to communicate with you and I and make us what He wanted us to be. He gave you a down payment. He gave you the earnest of His Spirit. Amen. He gave you a little bit of heaven inside of you. Amen. To cause you to want to go to heaven. Amen. One of these days, eternally. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so God gave you the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, and it's called the earnest of the Spirit. Amen. There's no way that a mortal man, amen, with an earthly body, amen, with earthly faculties, could really ever contain the fullness of God Almighty. You can't do it in this tabernacle. Hallelujah. And so God just gave you the earnest of the Spirit. But one of these days, amen, He has already purchased for you a purchased possession over yonder. Amen. He sold Himself 40 days and nights and revealed what you're going to be able to put on when mortality, praise God, puts on the immortality. When the corruptible puts on the incorruptible. Amen. You know what keeps Jesus alive? It's not the blood. Amen. Because He shed all of that. But the Holy Ghost keeps Him alive. Amen. He is flesh and bone and Holy Ghost. That's all that Jesus got. He didn't need any blood when He got out of that grave, honey. He shed the blood to redeem you and me. Hallelujah. And when the trumpet of God sounds and the dead get up, amen, these precious souls out here that have gone to sleep in Jesus Christ, they're going to get up and all the dead, far and wide, are going to get up north, south, east, and west. Amen to God. And I want you to understand tonight, we that are alive and remain, we're going to join them. Hallelujah. And God said, we're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye. Hallelujah. Now, flesh and blood can't go. You cannot inherit the kingdom. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
The blood you've got inside of you tonight is contaminated. Something happened in the fall of Adam. And God Almighty said, I can't take you up here with me like you are. There's got to be a change. Hallelujah. And while that God is working on the inner man through the Holy Ghost, him and to be filled with the Spirit needs to be controlled. And so God gave you the down payment. He gave you the earnest of His Spirit to control your human nature. Amen. To sanctify you. Amen to God. To teach you to live godly and soberly. Amen. Right in this present world. But God said, I've got a heaven over yonder. Amen. John said, I'm going to write about that tree of life. Amen. Adam couldn't get back to it. God put a flaming sword between fallen man and the tree of life. But John looked over yonder. Amen. Man had been looking for it for a long time. Fountain of youth, tree of life. They've been searching. But John got a revelation. And he said, I saw the tree of life. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Where you're going, honey, that death cannot enter. And I'm telling you right now, amen, that God Almighty is going to take a flesh and bone body. Amen. And you're going to have the fullness of God's Holy Ghost. And that's what redemption is all about. And what's going to keep you alive in eternity. Amen. You're going to be flesh and bone and Holy Ghost. Amen to God. You see, instead of human blood, you're going to have the divine nature of Almighty God keeping you alive. How long are you going to live? As long as God lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And your glorified body, amen, will not be an earthly house. It will not be a tent. Oh no, there will be no age. Time will be no more. Hallelujah to God. What eternal day without a night? Oh, hallelujah. And God Almighty said, when I bring you up here, amen, I've got an eternal home. And I'm going to have you to where we're going to share in fellowship for eternity together. And there'll never be any separation anymore. Are you hearing me tonight? Hallelujah. And to think that God, amen, through His miraculous supernatural power, is able to give you a change. Job said, I'm waiting for my change to come. Hallelujah. The apostles of the early church died, every one of them, looking for that blessed hope. Paul said, I'm ready to be offered. Praise God. He wondered when God took him to paradise, in the third heaven, and he saw the paradise of God and things that God wouldn't even let him write about. From that day forth, he didn't care if they stoned him to death. Praise God. He said, I'm ready to go. He said, I've got a desire to depart. He said, what I saw over yonder, amen, there's nothing down here, amen, to God that's worth losing that over. I'm ready to go anytime. Amen. They said, don't you go to Jerusalem. He walked on there anyhow. Amen. They cautioned him, amen, about danger here and there. He walked right into it in Jesus' name. I believe down deep inside, Brother Tubbs, he said, it really doesn't make any difference. Amen. If I go out of here today, he said, the only reason I'm leaving left down here is for your sake.
Yes, sir.
To help the church. Otherwise, he said, if it was me, I'm ready to go. Hallelujah. You said, man, I can't understand nobody wanting to die. You have never seen what Paul saw. Now, I heard one of these eternal security fellows say that if God ever showed us heaven, we'd all commit suicide to get there. Well, I don't buy that. Praise God. But I do believe there's something over there that once you see it, you long to go there. Praise God. This is why that John said, every man that hath this hope, he purifies himself, even as he is pure. Think about tonight, will you? The promise of God. When you think about your loved ones and the sorrow and the pain and the tears. When we separate from loved ones down here, there's an earthly relationship that's hard to explain. But life has to go on. You can't live in the past. You got to continue to walk down the path of life. Because you see, tomorrow is where you're going to live. The future belongs to you. There's not a thing you can do about the past. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But Paul said, therefore, we're always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. But then he said in verse 8, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Praise God, when you step out of this tabernacle, when death comes, amen, and you... The Bible said the body without the spirit is dead. And so when death comes by, the death angel, amen, and that soul, that inner man that God has been working on through the Holy Ghost, amen, purifying, amen, preparing you. Amen, this earthly house, you understand, is not eternal. It is going. Somebody said, why? That there has to be a resurrection. Amen. Why don't we just, you know, just leave here and go on over yonder? Well, let me tell you, God's got a paradise. He said to the man on the cross, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Amen. I believe that God's got a place waiting. When you step out of this body, you're going to be in the presence of God. But let me tell you, God, in order to fulfill His eternal plan, in order for God to fully redeem everything that He made in the beginning, there has to be a bodily resurrection. God is not going to allow death to swallow up anything. Amen. But death is going to be swallowed up of life. You hear me? Jesus Christ was life, and in Him was the light of men. Praise God. And so there's going to be a bodily resurrection. And God said the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Amen. And God Almighty, those that sleep in Him will God bring with Him. Amen. And those redeemed souls, amen, are going to come back here. And God's going to say, grave, you give up the dead. Hallelujah to God. Because when this thing is completed, amen, death is not going to have any grip on any body. Hallelujah to God. And there's going to be a resurrected body. And the redeemed soul is going to be reunited together. And God's children, amen, from one end of the universe to the other, amen, from Abraham all the way, praise God, to the end of the time, we're going to stand as one in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise God. And God Almighty has so decreed in His Word that this is a hope. And it matters not, friend, how poor you are tonight, or how underprivileged. God said, I'm willing to share this with you. I want to give you this hope. In closing, I heard Brother Don Johnson say, when he was in, I believe it was Chile a few years ago, and he said he looked out there, and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of those people had gathered. Beautiful saints of God, living in poverty. But they gathered in that big auditorium that they rented for the conference. And he said, you didn't have to look very long to see the marks of poverty and want. And he said, I had something I was going to preach. But he said, God spoke to me at that meeting that night and said, I want you to tell these people that I made a resurrection just for them. Hallelujah to God. People that if they got one good meal a day, they gave thanks to God and were glad. And he said, I stood there. And he said, the Holy Ghost anointed me. And he said, I walked down through the crowd to the garden. He said, I want to tell you that God made a resurrection just for you. And said some of those elderly women was all bowed with all kinds of diseases and afflictions in their body and crippled. And you see a lot of that in those countries. And he said they began to raise those limbs toward heaven. And he said we had a healing service. And we had a Holy Ghost service. He said I didn't have to preach very long. But he said I went down through and I told those people that God's got a resurrection for you. Amen. Those people that was living on one meal a day, that God's got a marriage supper of the Lamb. And they began to realize what it really meant. The faith in God's Word, the promise of the Bible became a reality that they could relate to. There's really going to be a resurrection. You hear me tonight, church? Praise God. I'm talking about a blessed hope that God Almighty has declared in His Word. It's worth living for. Can you say amen? How many of you have loved ones that have crossed over? You plan on seeing one of these days. Could I see your hand tonight? Amen. You feel like they're there. Amen to God in the place of rest, in the paradise of God. Oh, friend, hear me tonight. I want to encourage you. Set your affection on what's above tonight. Don't let anything get in your way. Amen. You may be carrying a diseased body around tonight in this tabernacle. You know, I'd be glad to stand here tonight if I could and promise everybody that God's going to heal everything, but I can't do that on the authority of the Word because I don't know that He's going to do that. Amen. But I can tell you one thing. I can promise you that a few days, you're going to have one that'll know no pain. That'll know no sorrow. Brother Theo, you may not ever have the health you had 10, 20 years ago. I don't know. Some of these fellows may come by and tell you, yeah, God's going to do this. And I don't know. You know, and if God designs that, that's great. If God wills that, I'm going to be shouting hallelujah. But I can tell you one day very soon, our God's going to come. And we're going to get out of this tabernacle. Oh, hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. and those things that have afflicted us in this world, and the things that have been unkind to us in this world here, God Almighty said, we're going to rise above that, and you're going to leave all that behind. Amen. You're going to take your flight, praise God, from here to glory world, and you're going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye. Can we stand tonight in Jesus' name? Praise God. Hallelujah.